Before we get started on the Earfluence podcast, for those of you in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there. Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence, and with me today, we have Cece Huffman. She's back on the pod. Welcome, Cece.
Yeah, it's been a while, honestly. I haven't been here in a long time, but you've been holding everything down without me.
You've been doing your own shows, too, so that's all right.
I know we haven't been together in a long time, but that just goes to show that we've both been doing a lot, and we can't typically both do something at the same time because there's something else that needs to be done.
Yeah, and in different studios too, which is really cool. So today we have an amazing guest with us. She is the co-founder and head of content and programming at the Diversity Movement. She's an official member of the Forbes Business Council. She's an author, keynote speaker, virtual privilege walk giver, human rights advocate, and most importantly for the purposes of this show, she's the host of the Diversity Beyond the Checkbox podcast. Jackie Ferguson, welcome to the Earfluence podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here with you both.
Yes, I get to be on the podcast and just listen to Jackie talk, but today we get to talk to each other, so that's really exciting.
Yes, I'm excited about that, Cece.
So as podcasters, we love a great story arc. The likable underdog who has a strength only the audience can see. She struggles to discover her superpowers, and when she does, she sets out on a journey to become great. She tries and struggles, tries and fails, tries and makes a little progress. Then she starts to notice. Then everyone starts to notice. And in the end, she's a conquering hero. And that's the story that we're going to tell today.
That was really epic, Jason, honestly. Jason, what an epic explanation. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm wondering when you're going to bring that guest on, though.
So let's go back to 2019, when we met, Jackie. You were behind the scenes. What were you doing?
So at that time, I was writing the first course, also called Diversity Beyond the Checkbox, for the company that our CEO, Donald Thompson, and I worked at, which was Walk West. And you know, I was functioning as his assistant, doing a little bit of HR, and then writing that course, right? All behind the scenes stuff. And that's been what my career has been, right? Since the beginning. I started out as an executive assistant. That's been a thread working to support CEOs and senior vice presidents. I did some marketing. I did some sales, but that was not, you know, my lane. But what it was is, you know, support roles and making sure that other people look good, other people have what they need. And so understanding at that point that I was moving out into the front was not only, you know, people would say a little scary, right? I was terrified. And Jason, if you remember those first one or two podcasts, I was like I would lose my breath. I was so nervous.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll get to that, but you know, explain just being terrified in meetings. Like you shared with me some stories about just stand-ups. Like, can you explain what it was like?
Yeah. You know, I've always been great at my jobs, right? And I never had to speak in meetings, right? And so, you know, when they would have those meetings where somebody's new and, you know, let's go around and just introduce ourselves, right? And share what you do, which is your name and your role, which is like the easiest thing to share, I would be like, oh God, they're coming to me next. Right. And really,
what do I do again?
Right. And exactly. You know, and I was like that for my whole professional career. Now, if I'm having a one-on-one conversation, I would, you know, say what I thought was lots of smart stuff, but I didn't really want to speak out in public because, you know, what if I don't articulate properly, you know, what I'm thinking, or, you know, what if I don't have all the information? And there were just so many questions that I would ask myself that would shake my confidence. You know, that has been a thread, right? Just again, just saying my name and my role in a meeting would have me nervous. So, you know, then working with you in 2019 and the idea of being on a podcast, right? Hosting a podcast and talking to people where other people could hear it.
Right.
Was very nerve-wracking.
You didn't have a high usage percentage in our meetings back in 2019, but when you did, you would hit the shot. What I mean is, like, every time that you would speak, it would be super impactful. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you get to the point where you're like, you know what? I think I want to host this podcast.
You know, I had taken some professional speaking classes. The last one was with Sharon Delaney McLeod, who is a very good personal friend. And she's like this Emmy-winning journalist and public speaker all around the country. And she's amazing. And she said, you know, you have a story to tell and you should be out in front. And I was like, okay, Sharon. I don't want to do that. That sounds like too much, right? And so...
And meanwhile, Sharon is this TEDx speaker, you know, has been on TV. She gives these keynote speeches and she is just super precise with her words and like one of the best and honestly very most intimidating public speakers out there because she's so good at it. And when she's telling you that you can do it, yeah, that means something.
Yeah. And she's been on our show too. So if you want to hear her talk, go back and listen.
Yes, please listen. I mean, she's so just so inspiring and talented. And so I took her, you know, public speaking class within the company that I worked with at the time. So it was all people I knew. And I was still nervous. I got up there. I was repeating myself because I didn't know how to fill the space. And I was nervous, right? So I would say the same thing three times. You know, so when Don did the first season of the Beyond the Checkbox podcast, he had so many other things with building a new company, right, that was emerging in the diversity movement, plus running the company that he was already running. And so he couldn't manage a diversity podcast. And so he said, you should do it. And so at that point, I was at the point where I knew I had to say yes to more things. So very, very, very reluctantly, I said, okay, right? Because, you know, I liked working with you, Jason. And at that point, it was just you.
Yep.
And, you know, I liked working with you. I was like, you know, I'll try one or two with Jason. If I'm terrible, he'll tell me I'm terrible. And then we'll just not air it. But so that's how it started, just saying yes and hoping for the best.
So how was the prep then? Being a behind the scenes person, you were and are super prepared for everything. Was that similar to how you approached the podcast?
Yeah, that was the benefit, I think, is that working behind the scenes, there's so much preparation that is involved that nobody ever sees. And so I literally spent hours, not just writing my questions, but rehearsing them, rehearsing the intro. You know, I say like a 4 or 5 sentence intro. You know, now I can go through it once or twice, but then I would spend an hour just rehearsing the intro of, you know, 4 or 5 sentences. Mm-hmm. And then writing out the questions, writing out what my response might be. It was really intense, but that made me feel a little bit more comfortable because I wasn't comfortable. I kind of feigned a level of comfortability by writing out, like, you'll probably laugh here. And, oh, that's really interesting is probably my comment, right?
Right. But to a degree, everybody's kind of feigning or faking that confidence in everything that they do. You just need a little bit more written down stuff to help you with it.
Cece, that's exactly right. I think, you know, unless you're challenging yourself and doing something a little bit scary, you're not growing. And, you know, I would just encourage people to jump into something that they're feeling a little bit nervous about. We're not, what I tell people all the time is we're not performing heart surgery, right? And so if you mess it up, you mess it up, pick it up and try it again.
Yeah.
Well, another thing is with podcasting, it's not live.
Right.
So it's not giving a keynote speech where you're up on stage, which you've now done mm-hmm. before. You're not up on stage. Like, we do edit these, and that's how we prep all of our guests and hosts beforehand is, right. you know, record drunk and edit sober. Like, you can be totally loose with your words. You can have fun with it, and we will yeah. make you sound good. We will edit sober for you so you can be loose.
Absolutely.
But still, yeah.
And, you know, and you've always done that. But the issue that I had was, what if I sound ridiculous? What if I don't know what to say next? And mm-hmm. you second guess yourself. It holds a lot of people back, but I kept saying yes for some reason. So that's my mantra. Keep saying yes.
Right.
That is a great mantra. I mean, and great mm-hmm. advice. Jackie, what do you remember from the first few recordings?
Oh, wow. Other than being nervous, I remember that my guests, if I think about my earliest guests, I think about Julie Kratz and Bernadette Smith, and they were just awesome to talk to. They were so easy. They had such great advice. You know, I was still learning, and, you know, I'm continuing to learn in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space, but I was really just learning, and they had just so much great advice to share. So they made it easy because they had a lot of things to say. And so I just acted as the frame for the conversation, and it was great. I mean, just very talented people that made it as easy as it could be for me. So it was a lot of fun once I got over my nerves.
Right. And fortunately, a lot of those are, you know, or were digital. And so mm-hmm. like after you get so used to being on Zoom calls and things like that with other people,
yeah,
you can almost forget that this is different from that, which I think definitely helps. Because if you're going to go and sit in front of like a really big mic in like a studio, sometimes that can be kind of scary because it feels so much more real.
Right. And I've done that with you as well.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You just say yes to everything now.
I try to.
Do you want to guest host a podcast for Blue Cross Blue Shield? Yes. Do you want to be a speaker at that same event? Yes. Do you want to be on a live podcast where anything could go wrong? Yes, let's do it. So yeah. it's awesome that you're doing that, Jackie.
Exposure therapy.
That's mm-hmm. right. Exactly right.
And Jackie, what was the feedback initially from your first episodes?
Definitely my mom. She listens to all my episodes. So thank you, Mom. I'm sure you'll listen to this one as well. Don, not so much. So he loses a husband point on not listening to the podcast as much as he should.
He doesn't listen to his own podcast.
That's right. No, and y'all got quite the competition going on. So I'm sure he doesn't want to give you the numbers.
No, I think, you know, certainly my mom, and I find, you know, every kid wants their parents, you know, approval and to be proud of them and say that. So that's been great. I know that, you know, I was surprised to realize that a couple people at the diversity movement listened to the podcast, that they've mentioned that. And, you know, it's got to be more than my mom, right? With the number of downloads that we've got now, which is so amazing. So I'm glad that I'm able to provide some, you know, content that's valuable to people.
For sure. And in the hiring process, even, are you hearing from people that have listened to the podcast and want to work for the diversity movement? have they in the interview process mentioned some of the podcasts that they've listened to, just as a way to vet, you know, working with you?
Yeah, surprisingly so, Jason. And you know, the thing about it is, I think that job candidates are investigating the companies that they want to work with more so than they ever have in the past. And so part of that is like reaching out to people on LinkedIn that work with a company and getting a real inside feel. And then, yeah, researching some of the, you know, executives with the company. And certainly I've had a few that have mentioned that they do listen to the podcast and have listened to episodes. And that's really cool and surprising. And I appreciate it.
For sure. All right. So I mentioned that you've done some things probably outside of your comfort zone. Can you talk about what you've done for big companies and big speaking events? I want to credit the podcast a little bit, but at the same time, it's your yes theory. Like it's your just, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it.
You know, I started, my very first speaking engagement was right after everything locked down for COVID. And that was with the Raleigh Chamber and their DEI conference. I did a virtual privilege walk. It was supposed to be an in-person privilege walk. And then I had to pivot it to virtual.
Were you relieved?
I think I was relieved after I figured out how to make a privilege walk virtual.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure part of you was like, well, what am I going to do now?
Right. Because there have been a few people who at that point, that was in March 2020, who had done virtual privilege walks, but they were kind of clunky. Like I've looked at them online and things, and I wanted to find a way to create a virtual privilege walk that also provided psychological safety for people as they go through that process. And so I was able to do that. So there were probably, gosh, I'm trying to remember, 700 folks on that privilege walk. That's a big conference that the Raleigh Chamber does every year. And so, you know, what a way to get started with a first speaking engagement with that many people, right? I would have preferred it be, you know, 50 folks, but that was the first one. And so after that, you know, I certainly would reference, you know, the speaking engagements I've done for many of the CPA associations around the country. The Executive Women's Day Conference, which was my first live, you know, in-person speaking engagement.
That was your first?
That was the first. Uh-huh.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So a little bit of jitters there with like being able to actually look out at people.
In front of like 250 big shots. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly right. So, you know, no pressure there, but that was a great experience. And then my last webinar, the Diversity Movement's last webinar, called the Word Choice Workshop on Inclusive Language, we had almost 1,800 registrants. So we had close to, I think it was 800 folks that actually were on live, and then a lot of people register and watch the recording back.
Yeah, for sure. And that's this hero's journey that that I talked about at the beginning of the show, like from behind the scenes to super nervous to get started, mm-hmm, to just doing it anyway. And then being in front of 700 people, and then the podcast is growing and gets in the, mm-hmm, top 10% of all podcasts. And then, yeah, you're on a live stage with 250 executive women in healthcare and tech. And then another webinar from the Diversity Movement with over 800 people and thousands that are going to watch that. And then now your podcast is in the top 5% of all podcasts. Yeah. So it continues to grow. And just congratulations, Jackie. It's just amazing to see.
Thank you. It's certainly a team effort. So thank you both for, you know, all your efforts and helping it grow and helping it to be just a really good podcast.
Oh, yeah. You make it so easy on us. Are you kidding me?
Yes. One of the best clients to have. There's no stressful, scary extra work with Jackie.
No.
I'm still doing my prep. That's the point, Cece.
Right. Yeah. Some of our podcasters are like, just give me some notes and I'll be there. And Jackie's like, nope, I am preparing for this. But I imagine things are a little bit different from the first one. So, you know, how have things changed from episode 1 that you did to episode 50 or so that you've done?
Mm-hmm. Well, one is I'm now leading a team, right? So I have responsibilities to the diversity movement for, you know, in content and programming. You know, that's a big responsibility. So then the podcast becomes important, but another piece, right, of the content that I'm doing. And so I don't have as much time, right? I don't have those hours to prep for each episode, but I do definitely take time to make sure that I'm prepping, asking good questions, sending them in advance, and doing all of those things that I've always done that work well for me. But, you know, I'm not nervous anymore when I do the podcasts. As a guest on a podcast, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm not, you know, I'm not creating the flow for the conversation.
Right.
But it's so much easier and less like emotionally taxing. It used to be that I would get super nervous for speaking engagements or sometimes podcasts, especially when I'm on a podcast, days before. And I would just have butterflies and not be able to sleep. I know when I did my first speaking engagement, I didn't sleep for like 3 nights before. I just was petrified. But now I'm like, oh, I'm excited to talk to Jason and Cece on this podcast today. And even though I still have like that half a teaspoon of nervousness,
right?
I don't think that'll ever go away. But again, just keep saying yes. And you'll be happy when it's like when you're on the other side of it.
I'm sure. So obviously being like an executive assistant has helped you with knowing how to be really prepared for things. But if you're somebody who's also really quiet, who is kind of observing these like leaders and now to be a leader yourself, I'm sure watching them and being able to learn from them has given you a massive advantage too in what you're doing.
Absolutely, Cece. And I would say, you know, the executive assistant position is a really underestimated position in a company because you have like a bird's eye view of everything that's going on in the organization from your seat. And so you understand better than most what's happening with the organization, how they're tracking toward their goals, what matters to the CEO, what the strengths of the CEO's direct reports are, what their, you know, challenge points are. You know, people often think of an executive assistant as like getting coffee and like setting calendar invitations. And it's so much more than that if it's leveraged properly. And I think my experience with that, and especially working with Don for so many years with a number of things that I was responsible for, gave me the opportunity to do what I'm doing now and have that, at least have that foundation.
Yeah. And you get the executive coaching as well without having to pay for it. Right. Like you've got a roadmap on how to do it.
That's exactly right. You know, one of the best things that you can do as a young professional is go to those big meetings, right? And just listen and take notes and write your questions down and ask your manager about it because you can just learn. As a matter of fact, I gave that advice to someone today. You can just learn so much in those meetings about what's important, about how your role plays into the goals of the whole organization just by attending some of those bigger meetings where they're talking about the organizational priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice too. Jackie, what are you most proud of in your journey here?
You know, I would just say that a lot of times, and certainly I can speak for myself, people don't take those steps toward what their purpose could be because they're afraid. And it's hard, right? When you're afraid. But in doing that and continuing to say yes, I've been able to really reach a lot of people, especially through the work I do at the diversity movement and really influence people. And that's been an amazing journey. So I would just encourage people to like do the scary thing that helps you discover your purpose. Because it really makes all the difference in the world and how you're spending your day and, you know, how you think about yourself, right? And how your time is being spent. And so that's the advice that I would give. And that's what I think I'm most proud of.
Wow, that is awesome. Cece, that is the video for LinkedIn for this episode. That is like a drop the mic moment here. Very nice, Jackie. So one of the things that you've done is taken one of your webinars, Say This, Not That, and ran with it. I mean, ran really fast and yeah. gotten to a place where you have something amazing to tell the audience right now. In another step in your evolution here.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason. And you know, before the webinar, there was a small section of the course that I wrote on inclusive language, right? So it started with this small section in a course and then went to the webinar and then went to a white paper. And now we're super excited that we have written a book. So it's myself and my co-author, Roxanne Bellamy. It's called The Inclusive Language Handbook. And that is available for pre-sale, but so excited that now I get to say that I'm an author. Inclusive language is so important in ensuring that you're doing business in a way that appeals to larger audiences when you're thinking about marketing and sales. And it's important in business because you want to create environments and cultures in your organization that are strong and create a sense of belonging. And also personally, in your personal relationships, inclusive language is important because the people around you are diverse, right? And so you want to make sure that you're not unintentionally offending people and making them feel excluded or not a part of, you know, the conversation or the environment or the culture because of the words that you use. And so word choice is very important. And so we wrote this book, and it's great because it's got like workbook pieces where you can really like learn and reflect and try new words, right? One of the things, you know, growing up in the Northeast, I would always address people as guys, right? So, hi guys, good morning guys. And that's not an inclusive term. So it took me quite a long time to get out of that habit and be more inclusive in saying everyone or team or all, right? Which everyone y'all. Is probably my go-to. Y'all is totally inclusive. So if you're in the yeah. South, from the South, keep saying y'all. That is a super inclusive term. Also, if you're from Pittsburgh, just a shout out to my parents. Yins is also totally inclusive, so you can say that.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Well, I remember when we were having a conversation about something different, and I used the word minority, and you're mm-hmm. like, "No, you shouldn't use the word minority." And I'm like, "Well, why? Why shouldn't I use the word minority? Like, I don't understand." And you explained it to me, and it makes sense. Yeah. And it's really hard to change yeah. the way you speak. It's hard to remove that word. It's hard to remove the word "you guys." It's hard to mm-hmm. it's hard to do those things when it's been in your vernacular for so long.
That's right.
But is there a chance that this is going to offend somebody? And mm-hmm. I don't think, like, some people just don't care, and that's frustrating. Yeah. And some people aren't as educated. And for uh-huh. those people, this book is going to be an amazing resource so that you don't use words like minority or even mm-hmm. like master bedroom or even right. words. My wife has an issue with people saying, "I almost had a heart attack," mm-hmm. because her dad died from a heart attack. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't think about that stuff. Like, you could be hurting somebody by the wrong words. So I love that you put this book together.
Yeah, that's so true. Thank you for that. And, you know, the thing about it is, I always say that inclusive language is a practice. So you're not going to always get it right. You know, keep asking questions, listen to how people refer to themselves. You know, be careful about those over-exaggeration phrases that we use that could be triggering a trauma for someone.
Yeah. Where can people buy this book?
Yeah, you can go to theinclusivelanguagehandbook.com and pre-order now, and you can get it in the paperback version or the digital version.
Amazing. Jackie, One last podcast related question for you. It's just a fun one here. What podcast do you listen to?
Well, you know, I have to say the Donald Thompson podcast.
You don't. Apparently he doesn't listen to yours, so you don't have to say that.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love listening to, and this isn't a plug, and just for those listening, Jason and Cece did not pay me to say this, but I just love listening to like some of the podcasts that you all produce. And it's really interesting, the different kinds of content and different styles of the people that are part of your community. So I would say, you know, if you're looking for a new podcast, there's some amazing ones on the Earfluence family.
Oh, I appreciate that. But I truly appreciate you coming on the Earfluence podcast to share your journey to the top 5% of podcasts.
Yes, thank you both.
Jackie, and we'll put all this in the show notes, and I think it's pretty obvious, but how can everybody connect with you and find the podcast?
Sure. Well, you can connect with me on LinkedIn or reach me at the Diversity Movement, Jackie@thediversitymovement.com. And you can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. So super excited about that.
Awesome. Well, Jackie, thanks again. Cece, what a great conversation here with Jackie. Yes. Thanks for all the work that you're doing with the Diversity Beyond the Checkbox podcast as well.
Thank you. It's always great to hang out with Jackie.
Oh my gosh. Yes, always. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this show. If you're interested in podcast production, head on over to earfluence.com or find us on social where we're at Earfluence Media. For Cece Huffman, I'm Jason Gilliken, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.